council meeting for Tuesday, September the 8th, 2020 at 9 a.m. is hereby called to order. I'd like to welcome everybody here today. I would ask everyone, if you would, to please turn your electronic devices to the silent mode. At council meetings, we normally do record the audio from council meetings. Today, we're trying an audio and a video. They will not be live, but we will be looking at putting them live later, depending upon the quality of what we have today. I have Councilor Gil Johnson on speakerphone today, and he will be participating from home. He's self-isolating from his trip to the USA today. So, are there any changes to the agenda today? I have none to add. Councilor Fancy? Councilor McLeod?
I'd like to add to the reports a resolution about returning to school.
Okay. 14.3 under reports, back to school resolution. Councilor McLeod? Councilor Fancy?
I'd like to go under 9.0 corporate services. I'd like to look at highway signage and on Highway 3.
9.1 highway signage.
Sure.
Councilor McLeod?
Advice from the chair. If I want to make a notice of motion, do I do that on the agenda or when the topic is discussed about the motion?
Normally when the topic is discussed. Any other additions? Hearing none, a motion to approve the agenda with the additions that have been added today would be in order.
I so move.
Moved by Councilor Fisk. Seconded by Deputy Mayor Kelly. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Gil?
Aye.
We have an aye, so it is unanimous. Today we have no presentations under 3.0. Under 4.0, tabling of petitions, we have no petitions to table today. Are there any petitions to table today? Second call for petitions. Third and final call for petitions. We have no petitions today. Under 5.0, public question comment session. This is the location during the council agenda where members of the public have up to 5 minutes to speak. We have a little new protocol today, and I would ask that all that wish to speak would like to please state their name as well as their address, and if you would speak in front of the microphone today in the gallery so that we can record and hear.
This is something new. Got the system changed a little bit, have you?
A little bit later.
Let's hope it works well. Yeah, Leon Robinson, College Street in Liverpool. Under 14.1, Council Implementation Report. It was asked by Council to check with the Liverpool Privateer Hockey Team to get a copy of their financial statement. And it says in there that there had been a meeting with them, and did we receive the financial statement?
We have received partial financial statements at this point in time, and yes, there is ongoing discussions on this issue.
Thank you. And 14.2 is an interesting one. Carter's Beach, report there from the CAO, and with his recommendation and the past experience with the province of Nova Scotia, they haven't cooperated too much. It was suggested to them previously that they look at clearing a space there for 75 additional parking spaces there, plus an egress road coming out on the central Porcatoon Road. And of course, they didn't act on that or get back to you. Now it's being recommended that the committee be expanded to include members from the provincial government plus members from the community and so on. Let's hope we get some action if that is approved there today. The egress road, would that be coming out near what is known as Cranberry Hall?
actually, to expand on that a little bit, Leon, the Minister of Lands and Forestry is in consultation with his staff as to what solutions they would put forward for Carter's Beach Road, Carter's Beach, the nature reserve designation and the parking area issue. The original discussion pertaining to the parking lot was to have the exit road, leave a parking lot area to be constructed at the end of Carter's Beach Road and exit to Central Port Mattoon Road, probably 1,000 feet north of Cranberry Hall, because across from Cranberry Hall there are ecological and archaeological important sites in there, so one would not want to disturb that area.
Now, there's actually a road there presently. It's grown up now in trees, but there's a road there. I remember my dad hauling a pope wood up over there years ago, back in the early 50s. So there's a road there already. It just needs to be cleaned out.
Yes, there are some old roads in that area. You're correct.
Yes, there's Wobbuchet Beach, is what is known there, and there used to be an establishment there of a little hotel and cottages and so on there.
And that's one of the archaeologically important areas.
It's interesting that Carter's Beach has come so interesting to people in recent years. Before, we had our Sunday school picnics there in the early 50s, and there was no way around on the beach. And anyway, it's a little different now. So anyway, let's hope we can get some action there. And the egress road, maybe it could be made a two-way street, and you wouldn't have to worry about people going down the Carter's Beach Road.
And that's possible. It's still a work in progress.
Okay. Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Thank you, Leon. Any other member of the public would like to speak this morning? Second call. Third and final call for speakers. Yes, if you'd like to come to the mic, please.
Yes, my name is Bonnie Singleton, and I reside at 129 Carter's Beach Road. I know quite a bit about what you're talking about, but what I wanted to bring forward is the fact that anything that's discussed about Carter's Beach or Carter's Beach Road, that the residents be notified in advance. Right now, nobody knows about any committees or meetings. Not everybody on the road has the technology to look up websites and such. So if they could possibly do like a paper drop to the mailboxes a week or so in advance, probably end up with more people at your meetings and such, that people would know more of what's going on. Even ask the people on the road how bad it's been getting and such. They should be getting input from everybody.
And I can certainly appreciate your concerns and your comments. The Government Liaison Committee for Carter's Beach Road has its membership. They advise their membership of the committee of their meetings and of course, do produce minutes at the end of those, and I would expect those would easily be available, but I do not.
Everybody knows how to access it. There's quite a few retirees who have technology challenges, such.
And I'm just
going by word of mouth or whatever, right?
But as you can appreciate, the Lands and Forestry Department does operate that committee. We certainly can put it on our Facebook page, our Region of Queens Electronic Communications, and Councillor Kevin Muse has been on that committee, so certainly there is an ability for that information to be distributed more fully than what it is at this point.
Yes, thank you.
Thank you. Any other member of the public would like to speak today? Hearing none, I thank you all for your comments this morning. We will now move on to 6.0, approval of minutes, which includes 6.1, regular council meeting minutes of August the 25th, 2020. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Muse, seconded by Councillor Fancy. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion, please raise your hands.
Aye.
Affirmative, Gill. It is unanimous. 6.2, public hearing minutes, August 25th, 2020. Are there any errors or omissions in those minutes as circulated? Hearing none, a motion to approve those minutes would be in order. Moved by Councillor Fisk, seconded by Councillor Frelick. Any discussion? Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All those in favor of the motion? Neil?
Aye, yes.
It is unanimous, thank you. Under 7.0, dangerous or unsightly premises, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under economic development, 8.0, we have nothing to bring forward today. Under 9.0, corporate services, we have 9.1, which was added today. Highway signage discussion, Councilor Fancy, would you like to take the lead?
Yes, I brought this to the mayor's attention already, is that the signage that we did up on Old Falls Road to say that there was no throughfare, there's been another sign that's been added saying no exit to Highway 8. And that could step back on the roadways, and these are all good signage, works well. The only thing that we did was on that time when we did the signage, we had a motion made by, I think it was Council McLeod at the time, saying we should have put a sign out underneath the big green sign which says exit right to Kedgee, Caledonia, such as that. That we put a sign underneath it to say something like turn right at lights. And at the time we defeated the motion, or I should say the motion was defeated, now we're having a problem because there's one person who's the first house up there. People don't get the understanding when they see the sign and it says the exit to Kedgee and Caledonia. After that sign, the first road is Old Falls Road, but that the sign has to be so far back from the lights to be able to, or where you're going to cut off, and people see the first road and say, "Oh no, I don't want to miss it." So they're cutting up there, and they're cutting up, and they see the sign says no exit, and they're turning in this one woman's driveway, it's driving her crazy, and it says that they have children there, so they're turning in this driveway all the time. She said. She put up a sign and said, children present, please do not turn here. So I think we got to go back and revisit it, and I don't know how we do it because we had a motion and the motion was defeated, that we look back at that big green sign, which is rotting. It's rotting at the top, it's rotting on the whole sign needs to be replaced anyway, but somehow in bold letters to be able to say, turn right at lights. So we can be able, so that they can make it so people won't be going up there for the wrong reason, and these people are just they want to go to Kedgee or they want to go to Caledonia, and they're cutting up this road, and we just need to be able to make this right and how we're going to go about it. Whether we look at TIR and say they need to replace that sign anyway because it's rotten, and add this to this, or make an addition to, and put it underneath saying turn right at lights.
CAO, would you like to expand upon how we deal with a defeated motion on an issue such as that sign to Kedgee?
Sure. We operate under two sets of rules, Robert's Rules of Order, or no, sorry, not Robert's, Fornell's Rules of Order and our own Rules of Order. When a motion is defeated, the only time it can come back, it cannot be discussed or debated. It can come back on the floor as a motion of reconsideration. So notice of motion has to be given at one meeting, and then it comes open for debate and discussion at the future meeting. And then whether it gets approved or not is subject to what those rules say for the municipality's rules versus board of rules board.
Thank you, CAO. So that explains the process, Councilor Fancy, is how to approach this issue.
Okay. So then what we say is that if we wanted to make a change in this, we would have to make a further motion that would have to be brought forward for next council meeting, so to speak, right?
It would need to be served that a notice of motion is brought forward to state that there will be a motion come forward at a later council meeting.
Right.
So the notice of motion is critical to start that process.
Okay. Okay then. So I'll let everybody else discuss first.
Okay. Any other councilor would like to speak on this issue? Councilor McLeod?
I would like to make a notice of motion for reconsideration of the defeated motion regarding the signage on Old Falls Road at the September the
we have a notice of motion by Councilor McLeod to have the sign discussed at the September 22nd meeting.
The reconsideration of the repeated motion.
So there is no vote on that. There is no discussion on that. We are to a point where the notice of motion has been served to have that notice of reconsideration at the September 22nd meeting. So this discussion will further continue at the September 22nd meeting with that motion brought forward under the notice of motion today.
Thank you.
So thank you, Councilor McLeod and Councilor Fancy. We can now move on to 10.0, Engineering and Public Works. We have nothing under that today. 11.0, Finance. We have 11.1, Cost of Living Adjustment. And I would ask our Director of Finance, Jennifer Keating Huber, to come forward to the presentation desk, please. Under 11. I was going to say under 11.1, but
what I'm passing out is an optional report. If council so considers and would like to change the motion or the non-motion that's in the recommendation paper as it is. So as I've said in the report, normally each year in September, staff recommend the CPI value for Nova Scotia July to July of the previous year. This year, the CPI for Nova Scotia was -0.5. So precedent has been set. The Director of Finance cannot make a recommendation for a cost of living raise that is not commensurate with that CPI. I do note in the report that both the union contracts, QP at Hillsview and IBEW with our Public Works Department, had a 2% increase on April the 1st as per their collective agreements. And there will be a 7% increase for counselors' compensation this year. That's policy. So each 4 years when there's a council elected, there is a policy in place where council does not make a recommendation or a motion to change their own salaries. The policy in place is previous 4 years CPI or COLA that was attributed to staff non-union positions will be passed along to the councillors each 4 years. So when the councillors change every 4 years, there's a cost of living increase for their salaries as well. So I leave it with council's consideration if they would like to change the recommendation to a percentage that is commensurate with the union contracts or any other percentage. The blank motions are on your desks for your consideration.
So to clarify the issue at hand, this report does not have a recommendation attached to it, so therefore there is no recommendation at the moment. What our Director of Finance has been discussing, that we do have an ability to put forward a recommendation for an increase. However, we end up with Borneo's Rules of Order today, which does prohibit any motion without 48 hours notice that is substantive. So I will entertain a discussion today on the thoughts of councillors on this, but I would suggest that if we are looking to put forward a motion to provide an increase under CPI or otherwise, that it would be for the September 22nd meeting. So would a councillor like to speak on that? Councillor Johnson, did you have a comment?
No, I took a chance, but I read the document, and
Counselor Johnson, it's difficult to pick you up on your phone.
Hey, well, I think that's great. Anyway, like I said, if the finance department gives a recommendation, as I stand it, is not recommending any increase, then I support the work that they've done. And the fact that there should be no increase.
Thank you, Counselor Johnson. Any other counsel would like to speak on this issue today? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
I'd like to ask Jennifer a question. What was the increase for non-unionized staff in 2016?
2% in 2016, as in 4 years ago?
Yeah.
1.3.
And what was the increase in 2017?
1.2.
And 2018?
2.7. And 2019 was 1.8.
So what you're saying is that the CPI, last year the Nova Scotia CPI approved as a 1.8, okay. And what was the unionized negotiation for unionized workers? 2%?
2%. And their contract is 2% for each of the next 4 years.
Right, so 2% for each of the next 4 years. And just to be clear, counselor remunerations are only increased every 4 years.
Correct.
So in 2016, so that was done in 2016 before this council took office. Do you remember what that increase was at the time?
6.6.
So there will not be another, that goes for the increase for the whole 4 years because it won't be revisited until the next council comes in 4 years' time. So your recommendation coming forward is 7% based on the cost of living or CPI for the last
4 years.
4 years average, and that's why counselors' remuneration gets increased by.
On October 31st, 2020.
Right. Okay, thank you.
Any other counselor? Councilor Fancy?
Okay, so again, like you're saying, the union contract says it's 2% per year. Whether you go up 5% or down to zero, it's still they get 2% for 4 years.
Correct.
Which is built in with the contract because that's already been negotiated.
Right.
The union, not the union, but the council, what you say was
7%.
The 7%, that would be about 1.7. 4 years, right? If you averaged it out over 4 years.
It's the actual right. Cost of living for non-unionized staff the
right.
Previous four
right.
Years.
So even the council is going to get about a 1.7 or something like that. And because of the CPI, and I understand what the CPI is, I have worked in protect, we have to look at the CPI for our employees there too. It's showing that a negative factor is because of how everything went with COVID this year. But still, the price of food and everything has all gone up along with everything else. Our bills are still going up, even though the CPI has not.
There's a lot of fuel, like furnace fuel and insurances. Everybody realized insurance increases this year. The driver with the CPI was the gas prices.
Oh, was it?
That's okay. What was driving it down to the 0.5. It was positive the month before, year to year, but July to July, it was minus 0.5, and Canada was plus 0.1.
Right.
And there is a 2% amount built into the budget as well. So
that's interesting. The gas price, I never thought about it on that end of it, which indirectly affects us, but the whole idea is that will go up back up when it goes back up if you're not.
Undoubtedly.
Yeah, okay.
Any other counselor? Councilor McLeod?
Jennifer, thanks for the report. And if we have 2% in our budget, we retain it at 2%. Of course, that's already factored in.
It wouldn't be outside of budget
right.
To include 2%. That's correct.
And looking at the counselors' remuneration for the next 4 years,
was 6.6 in 2016, it will be 7% as of October 31st.
7%, okay. So, my opinion, I can't justify a counselor getting an increase in staff. I certainly agree with the 2% as a budgeted figure.
Any other counselor? Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Am I to understand that the counselor increase is based on the last 4 years plus this year's CPI?
The last 4 years, not including this year's.
Not including this year.
The next council term will include this year.
Which is negative 0.5.
Right.
So that's how that amount is derived at.
It's based on actual cost of living increases given to staff in the 4 years prior to the new elected council. So whatever happens with staff in each of those 4 years, it's cumulative and then attributed to council remunerations.
So most likely, unless the CPI drastically increases over the next 4 years, the next increase for councils will be a lot lower than it's been in the past. Because that's not really the norm, minus 0.5. We're in
we do not attribute a minus, no.
No.
It would be whatever council gives to staff. So if staff is a zero, then the first year of the 4 years that council's cumulative will be calculated, but will be based on a zero in that first year.
Zero in the first year.
Or
so
1.5 or 2%, whatever this year is, it will be an actual.
Any other comments or counselors? Jennifer, I think it should be clarified that when you look at an increase for council, it's done 4 years at a time. The council of the day does not approve their own increases.
Correct.
Staff receive a increase every year, according to CPI, and it becomes cumulative in the second year because it's an increase on the increase plus the salary of the year prior, is it not?
Yes.
Yeah, so it could significantly increase beyond what council would be recommended for an increase over that four-year period.
Yes, council would be the actual.
That would be the actual
right.
Total, where staff would be
cumulative
in every year's increase. Yeah.
That's right.
Okay. So we don't have any clear consensus going forward as to what possibly could be recommended for the 22nd on this issue from what I'm hearing today. Is there any, Councillor Fancy?
I'm comfortable looking at just because of the way the land is running at this particular time, the gas prices going down and they're going to shoot back up, and just because of the cost of living with everything else, that I'm comfortable with going with the 2%.
Even though the CPI is zero pretty well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
Because our wages, everything else is going up along with us, and we can't base our cost of living upon gases and things that are out of our control that we still have to live in the if you take out a lot of these factors, you'd probably be at 2%.
Would you like to explain how CPI is calculated relative to all the increases and all of the issues that are part of that CPI, Jennifer?
So the CPI is a basket of goods. And it has been in effect for, you know, decades, that same basket of goods. It includes energies, foods, fuels, gas. It does include insurances, maintenance and running of a household. There's a number of factors, and there were a number of factors in this CPI which were positive. There were a number of factors which increased by more than 5%, more than 6%. The main driver of holding the CPI back this particular July to July was the drop in gas prices and the per barrel costs of oil was the main driver. But if you exclude the gas, which such dramatically decreased, the other factors did increase. And house personal insurances, vehicle and house insurances were one of the factors that increased substantially, along with the the insurance costs, the fuel, and furnace fuel, not the gasoline fuel. And there was another option. See, I don't have my paper in front of me, but there were a number of items in that basket which did increase substantially, but the main factor driving it back was the price of gasoline.
Thank you, Jennifer. Councilor Frelick?
I'm sensing a little bit of hesitation. I'd like to hear the CAO's opinion on this or thoughts, if possible.
We live in interesting times, and so we often have to live with the good and the bad. Past 4 years, the CPI has been a certain rate, and we live with the good. And so over the past 4 years, cumulatively, staff have probably received 1% a year increase when you compounding factor. And so last year we would have received, as the director of finance said, 1.8%, but the CPI during the year obviously went down because of COVID and other reasons. And so while we received 1.8, the cost of goods was substantially less. And so while we continue to see some prices of some goods like lumber increase, we certainly do see a lot of goods decreasing in cost. And so the cost to the average consumer today is less than what it was previously. And so that's why the CPI is a great indicator of spending, because everybody has to buy fuel, whether it's home fuel or whether it's gasoline for the vehicles. They have to buy groceries. And all those things, and that's why that basket of goods was selected as the most appropriate one to determine essentially the wealth of the economy and what people can afford and so on and so forth. And so, as I said, we live in different times. We have very difficult budget this year because of COVID. And so it's not when the CPI is negative or very low. When it's high, we took the increase at 2.7%, but when the CPI is low, we're suggesting, well, maybe we shouldn't follow the CPI, maybe we should still get a continued increase, which is contrary to our practice in the past. And so I just caution council that we have a very difficult year, as I said. We have increased costs, potentially could have a deficit at the end of the year, depending on how COVID continues throughout the rest of the year. So while it's nice to be able to provide increases in staff on a regular basis, we did during COVID this year, we didn't have some layoffs, but we didn't purposely lay off anybody in particular. Any layoffs that took place were through the normal process. So we were very gentle with our staff during the year. While other people potentially were laying off people, we did not do that. So we were very generous to our staff in that respect this year. So council has to balance and weigh all of those different options to determine whether they believe it's appropriate. And yes, certainly the unions did negotiate, they do negotiate every contract, whether it's QP or whether it's IBEW, certain provisions in their contract. They have the authority and the democratic right to do that. We bargain in good faith and do the best we can to be fair to our employees, but also fair to our taxpayers. So while it may seem unfair that the union employees receive an increase in a particular year and non-union don't. It's unfortunate because there are other times, like I said, in 2018 where staff received 2.7, but IBEW would have received 1.75, I think, that year. So the non-union would have received a 1% increase higher. So there is always a balance. Sometimes you gain, or sometimes you're more than the union, sometimes you're less than the union. And so those are my general thoughts.
Councilor McLeod?
I had just a comment or a question basically that deals with added expenses in the future, and I know essential services also includes our power homes, and with the new smart meters that are going to be installed, and I know power rates never go down. It has to be a high cost for those meters to go in, so I'm sure that power rates will increase over time.
That's
so
true.
That's another factor. And I don't know whether that's taken into consideration for the CPI, but we're all going to be affected like that if we accept those meters on our house. And if we don't, it's going to cost us more anyway.
That's right, because it's mandatory unless you want to pay an increased fee, isn't it? That's what my understanding was as well.
Counselor Fancy?
Yeah, so getting to what our CAO is saying, you're saying that basically everything balances out at one time or another. If you get 2.7 when you should have got 2 or things like that. So if you stay with the same program, we stay with the program, and the program will balance itself out, good or bad at times. And and you're suggesting to stay with what we have and go forward? I don't know, I'm just asking.
I'm not suggesting anything.
Okay.
I'm suggesting we have a practice that we followed in the good times and the bad times.
Okay.
And if council wishes to deviate from that policy, they just need to be aware that you're deviating or from the practice. You're deviating from the practice. For whatever reason, you decide to deviate from the practice.
Okay, thank you.
Deputy Mayor Kelly?
Yeah, a couple more questions then. Just to be clear, in 2018, when there was a 2.7 CPI, staff, non-unionized staff, automatically got a 2.7% increase, correct?
That's right.
There was no...
Wouldn't have been, just to clarify, Mr. Chairman, wouldn't have been automatic, would have been approved by council.
Well, yes, but we can't recommend less than 2.7 if CPI is 2.7, or we can recommend anything we want. It doesn't have to be...
Zero if you wish, yes.
Right, okay, thank you. Well, that makes sense. What is in the budget this year for the 2% increase? What's the total amount?
It would be about $20,000, 2% in the budget. And there is a number of staff which would receive a 3% merit increase as well. I mean, we do have that built into performance appraisals. We do have a lot of staff who have been here a number of years, and so their salaries are maxed. So while we have, it's 16 or 19 out of 28 employees, I believe, that would receive a merit, the others would not receive that performance appraisal increase either, because their salaries are maxed out because of the number of years they've been here. They're at the top of their range.
Yeah.
COLA would be the only percentage available to those employees.
Right. So it's always difficult when we're talking about increases, because as we know, this is taxpayers' money. And we have a lot of taxpayers out there that are suffering now due to COVID, and everybody has their struggles. So yeah, this is a struggle when it's a 0.5 or minus 0.5, and we're looking at giving an increase. Yeah, it is a struggle. But what I would suggest, what I would be willing to do as just individually, in my opinion, is an average over the last 4 years, which would be 1.75.
Any other counselor would like to speak on this issue? Okay, so we've had quite a discussion, and for the record, I do believe everyone on council is fully in agreement that we have great staff and they are working hard on behalf of taxpayers, and this is a difficult decision for any council to deal with. Having said that, I think in order to move forward, we need to look at what we possibly could have for a recommendation moving into the next council meeting for a motion for an increase to staff under an equivalent to CPI under this program. So what I'd like to do, we're not going to have a motion, but I would like to ask for consensus. And what I would suggest is that I would propose to councilors that I would start at 2% and see if we have consensus at 2%, go to 1.5%, see if I have consensus on that, and then go down to 1%, see if I have consensus on that until we get down to zero if we don't get the consensus prior to that. Councilor McLeod?
Is this a normal procedure? I mean, why don't we just wait until the 22nd and have the recommendation come back to us?
So the recommendation is already before you of zero, and the discussion currently is some councillors do not feel that zero is appropriate, so we need to get to an appropriate number for a recommendation to come back at the 22nd council meeting.
Where does the recommendation say zero?
Staff cannot recommend an increase because the CPI is 0.1.
Minus 0.5.
It means they can't. Does that mean that they're recommending no increase, or does that mean that they can't recommend any?
There's no
an increase.
We can't recommend an increase.
An increase.
So it's part and parcel to the same thing. There isn't an increase in CPI to warrant an increase in staff remuneration. So what I'm suggesting is we can't deal with a motion today for a financial amount, but we can pull consensus from council to see where the agreement is, so staff can come back with a recommendation on the 22nd if it's warranted. Councilor Muse?
So whatever we say for percentage, if we do say any, that's going to affect what the council is going to be paid 4 years?
In 4 years.
So I have a problem with that because...
Council will vote on that motion at that point in time, will they not, Jennifer?
It's a built-in in policy.
Yeah.
Staff COLA is the recommended increase for council terms every 4 years. It's a policy, it's not a vote of council. Councils don't vote in their own raises.
No, but they vote for the next council's raise, correct?
No.
No.
Okay, so you're saying it's automatic?
It's automatic.
Councilor
Doesn't mean you do it to the detriment
Could
of
we not
staff.
Table this motion, get some more information, and then come back?
There is no motion to table. We can table the discussion.
Table the discussion, sorry.
But that's not going to give any direction to our Director of Finance as to what that figure should be, if there is a figure to come back with. But we'll find ourselves in the same position next meeting as we do today.
I could come back with a recommendation for the amount that's in the budget, and then council can discuss whether they change that amount at the next council meeting.
It's no different than what we're doing right now.
That's right.
Say that again. Sorry, I didn't follow that.
I can.
So if we move forward with the 2%,
I can put a recommendation as the budget amount.
And then we have the ability
to change that on September 22nd.
No, but this is, I feel like this is a quick decision. I'm not sure. I don't feel I have all the information. It feels...
Just 1 second, Gil. I have Deputy Mayor Kelly ahead of you. I'll come back to you.
Sure.
Deputy
I just
Mayor Kelly?
To clarify what you just said is that the council remuneration increase is based on CPI, so the first year is zero. If we agree to higher than zero for non-unionized staff, that is the amount that will go in for the first year for the council after next for the increase?
Yes.
Okay, so it won't be zero. It'll be whatever we agree for non-unionized staff.
For the 1 year of the four.
Okay, well, I understand then why Councillor Muses, because in essence we are controlling from that point of all, even though we don't vote on the next increase, like we don't get to vote on the increase, it's automatic due to policy.
But council has the ability to change that.
Council has the ability to change what?
Council could still, in that budget year, change that amount. But that will be a recommendation in that budget year, as it was this year.
Policy, we can't, if we have no control over, which is a good policy, not to have any control over what councillors get paid, that it's a policy that's automatic, which I agree with.
Mm-hmm.
We don't have the ability then to reduce that amount. We don't have the ability to take that away. This is for the next council.
I believe Councillor Johnson spoke to that this budget year, because there's always an amount in that budget year. So this budget year, the amount was set and budgeted for that, and council had the opportunity then to change the percentage or take it away at that point. During that budget, you still have the option to remove that increase if you wanted to.
For that 1 year, for the current council?
For the council moving forward. You would have the ability in that particular budget year to adjust or remove that percentage. Because Councillor Johnson spoke
to
that.
Percentage, because it's in our budget for this year.
It's policy that staff would include that in the budget for
yes,
that year.
Yes.
But council, in approving that particular budget, could adjust it as well at that time.
Well, I don't necessarily agree with that. I wasn't aware that this is it's getting very complicated and tedious. Right. Okay. I understand.
I have Councillor Johnson who wanted to speak. Go ahead, Councillor Johnson. Councilor Johnson, the council remuneration is not part of this discussion for staff today. It's just a additional issue that has been raised to clarify how the process works for council going forward into the next council, because we certainly do not vote our raises during the term of the existing council. So it becomes cloudy the more the conversation goes forward, and I think people have to keep their eye on the ball that the discussion today is on non-union staff. It is not pertaining to union staff, and it's not pertaining to council remuneration for the next council.
Okay.
All right. So I have Councilor Frelick. Thank you, Gil.
I just have a question about the second motion that Jennifer handed out. We weren't aware of this. Weren't aware of it. CAO wasn't aware of it. So does that not make it unusual to be doing this in this fashion?
It's a generic motion with no percentage in it. So basically, it's just a template for any motion or any amount that we could put in. But we've already had the discussion that this motion would be for a next council meeting if it were to have a number inserted in it, because
right.
We can't have a substantive motion today on this issue. We didn't have the 48 hours notice, so we're really dealing with what would be the recommendation for the September 22nd meeting.
At that time, we can talk about it and change the number if we're not comfortable with it.
Right.
So that gives us some time to kind of explore the information here.
It does.
Okay.
And so I'm hearing from councillors today that there's a reluctance to actually provide consensus on an amount today. So Jennifer, there is a 0.1 increase in CPI, if I understand it correctly.
Canada CPI was 0.1.
So you could bring forward a recommendation of 0.1, and councillors could, if they wish, amend that amount.
That is correct.
Okay. Councillor Fancy?
So the whole idea is like Councilor Frelick has said, that we'll bring forth a recommendation today. We can change it to whatever we want on the next meeting. It just gets it on the floor so then we can be able to vote on it for next time.
So there is no recommendation today, but there would probably be one on the 22nd that we would have the ability to work with.
Okay, so we can make a recommendation for the next council meeting?
We don't make those recommendations. They will come from staff. So Jennifer can, at her discretion, put a recommendation forward for the next council meeting at 0.1%, which would meet your policy.
Yes.
And from there, councillors decide whether that 0.1 is acceptable or whether there's a flavor to have it change. Okay. Any more discussion on this issue? Thank you, Jennifer.
Okay.
Appreciate it. We have nothing under 12.0 Recreation and Healthy Communities today. Under 13.0 Planning, we have nothing today. That brings us to 14.0 Reports. We have several items here. Under 14.1, we have Council Implementation Report. It was circulated previously for your information. Do we have any comments or questions on that implementation report today? Councilor Johnson?
Yes, under item June 9, 2020, the strategy document that was put forward for proactive, sustainable, solid waste plan, I see an act taken was a July 29th meeting, which, from my perspective, because I attended that, and it fell quite a bit short of what was recommended or the expectation I had for crafting a strategy doc. So I'm not sure where we go from there.
Well, I was looking at that item, and I understand from the action taken that the committee agreed to reach out to transportation regarding unsecured loads, etc. So I think that that committee has more discussion planned, according to the notes in this implementation report. You were there. Is that a correct interpretation?
At that meeting was review of everything they're doing today, but it wasn't a strategy going forward to do more. That was my expectation.
Well, I can't speak to that because I wasn't in attendance at that meeting, but there were other councilors here today that were. Councilor Fancy, would you like to speak?
I think what Councillor Johnson is bringing forward is correct. There was a lot of talk on what we have done in the past and how we did go forward with some shortfalls. And I guess where are we going forward from here? We don't know. Is there supposed to be more scheduled meetings? What they're supposed to be doing? I have no idea. But there were definitely some shortfalls that with anything that we're trying to do. And trying to identify them, and what are we going to do about them? And I guess we're waiting back to hear an answer on where we're going.
Well, my suggestion would be that the committee schedule a date and set up another meeting and see if you can get some final results to this issue, because without a committee meeting again to follow up on the loose ends, I think this will just linger. So I'm not on that committee, but a number of you are, and I would hope that you would take that action to bring it to a closure.
But further to that, I don't know if it's going to be like people like Scott, who is from the region, who is going to have to bring something back to us, because we can't just ask for another meeting. We got to see what the answer is coming back from the meeting that we had. You can't schedule something else when you don't know it's what you need to schedule about.
So I'd ask the CAO if he could respond to his knowledge on this initiative.
I'm confused. I know that. So the meeting, they had an ad hoc committee met, of which several members of council and staff, I think the RCMP,
right,
were present at the meeting.
Yes.
Or not. They had a discussion about unsecured loads, and staff were going to reach out to TIR.
Right.
And then further communication with the group would occur when developments occur. So my understanding from that wording is that there's no further meetings planned, and that the people that were at the meeting, the councillors included, were comfortable with what was discussed. And then once we had some information back from TIR on unsecured loads, that information would be provided then to the committee members. So I don't read in here if there's another meeting planned or that there's still a strategy document that's being requested. But I would suggest, as Mayor Dagley has said, if that is the wish of members of council, then I can ask staff to arrange another meeting, give an update on that information from TIR if it's been received, and then the committee can then have another discussion about whether there are other actions to take place.
Okay, sure enough.
Okay. Yes. Just one second. Gil?
If I can input a little bit.
Sure, go ahead.
Unsecured load is one element of the strategy. So having Department Transport deal with unsecured load. Great, that's one piece of the strategy. But the entire need to be able to keep this litter contained in our landfill is what that committee should deal with. And I know Councillor Crowley was there, and at that meeting, he echoed the same sentiments I had. I thought we were building a strategy and not trying to fix what we're doing today that doesn't work.
Okay, Gil, thank you. I'm going to move to Councilor McLeod.
Thank you. I attended that meeting as well, and the ad hoc committee was formed with council and
my understanding, not a committee of council or the municipality. That's a group of volunteers as well as some staff and council members.
Okay, most of those members were at this meeting, is that correct? So the discussion that we had was more on litter rather than more on illegal dumping and that sort of thing. We did discuss that with Kellyanne Hurley, our bylaw officer. And we did not come up with any, as we discussed today, we did not come up with any direction or strategy. But there were a lot of ideas presented at that meeting, and we did receive the minutes, but in the minutes there wasn't anything that was clarified as to what those discussions were. So we each of us kept our own notes, I'm assuming. But I think it's important to either get this thing on back and, you know, in the right direction, or meet with the group that has that independent group, the litter abatement group, and kind of work out, you know, be part of the strategy build of the document.
CAO, what would be the best way to move this forward through that committee with staff to get the answers and be able to move forward on this initiative?
There needs to be clarity around what the issue is and what the problem is. And so if the issue or the problem is not unsecured loads, then we shouldn't be talking about unsecured loads. If the issue is litter, then we should be strictly talking about litter. And litter is different from illegal dump sites and all those things. Litter is a single small act. And so that becomes an enforcement issue, so the RCMP has to be involved. And the municipality does not have authority to issue littering tickets. A bylaw enforcement officer does not have that authority, so it's a provincial issue, and it is an RCMP issue. And so, but the committee, whoever the committee is, needs to get back together and decide what issues they want addressed. Is it a public education campaign? Then we can work with Region 6 to be involved in the region with a public education campaign and the RCMP. If it's an enforcement issue, then that's a discussion we need to have with the RCMP. Is it an issue around more placements of more waste receptacles everywhere? Then that's a municipal responsibility. So we need to know what the problems are, so then we can come up with what the solutions are to address what those problems are. There seems to be some discrepancy, but there seems to be differing opinions as to what the problem is and what we're trying to solve.
Councilor Fancy, I think you had your hand up.
Oh, no, Frelick.
Councilor Frelick?
Well, as mentioned, I was at that meeting. I found it a bit confusing because we were talking about, there's so many issues associated with it that we got off on, you know, different topics, and we left the meeting not really having any clarity. There were some actionable items that were on the list, and I haven't read the minutes. I saw they came out on Friday, but I don't know if anyone has got back to around to doing those actionable items. So I'd be interested in seeing that. But I think what Councillor Johnson is looking for is a stripped down version of what we need to do to control all of it. And it's a big task, as everyone knows. We've been talking about it for years. But I'm not sure getting back in that committee is the proper step, because I feel like we'll then go back and talk about all those individual items. So you had, the CEO had done a strategy type report, correct? Correct? It was that you would call that a strategy?
Staff completed a report, yes.
Yeah. So I think that meeting was a result of that. Because there was some confusion when that report came out that nothing appeared to be done on that, although we know that things have been done. So I think we all need clarity on going back, looking at that original report, and finding out the step forward without going into the individual issues. And I don't know how you can accomplish that, but I think we could, for all of us that are passionate about wanting to get this solved, we talk about all the issues for an hour, hour and a half, and then we walk away. And there's really never a strategy that's associated with it. So so I don't know how to turn that around to get the strategy so that we can then in turn talk about the issues. So I guess I'd look for some guidance and some comments on that.
CAO, do you have anything to clarify?
Just goes back to staff need clarity as to what you're looking for.
I understand that.
And the staff can come up with a document, whether it's a strategy, an action plan, a work plan, whatever you want to call it. clarity as to what we're looking for.
Right.
And so we're talking, as you said, I wasn't at the meeting, Councilor Frey, but you said it was talking about all kinds of different issues.
Yep.
And so we need to focus on what the priority issues are and stop talking about the other issues.
Yeah.
We need to focus on what's important and not get dragged into the discussion chasing rabbits of all kinds of other issues. And then once we decide, as I said, is it public education? If that's the case, then staff can work with other agencies to come up with some public education ideas. But if we're not clear that public education is the problem because it's an individual responsibility for littering, then that doesn't take place other than the normal process that takes place now that we do every year. So we need to understand that. And so if it's more waste receptacles, then we need to know that littering is a problem in certain areas. And so then staff will determine, is that an education problem or is that a problem that we don't have enough waste receptacles in those areas to collect the litter? But until we know what the problem is or what the perceived problem is, then staff can't come forward with ideas or a strategy of some sort to deal with them until we know clearly what those are.
But I think the problem is there's not just one problem. There's numerous problems.
Absolutely.
So that is a challenge for us to come back and say enforcement. We've been talking enforcement for 8 years, members of this council, some members. We've been talking about waste receptacles for many years. We've been talking about every individual item under the littering, the overall umbrella, for many years. Clearly there's no easy way to get to the problem itself, the overarching problem, because if there was, I think we'd already be there. And I think going back and attacking each individual issue is only somehow ignoring another problem. And a lot of those issues came out at that meeting, things that we could have been doing, things that, you know, the RCMP could have been doing, their checkpoints, there's a lot of things. So whether that whole strategy is addressing 10 different items and bringing that back to staff, then maybe that's a starting point. But walking out of that meeting, there was no strategy. It was just another meeting where we talked about all the issues. And we had some good conversations about how to solve them. But, you know, we'll go to the next meeting, it'll be the same thing, so.
Councilor Francis?
And again, it's what when we talk about this, it's so big. I mean, whether it be waste receptacles, whether it be on the road garbage, and we have to divide, of course, what is RCMP with littering and what's us with illegal dumping. But we need the RCMP involved, but it's like, I guess, when somebody calls me and says, I got 10 rocks sticking up in my road, can you get them all removed? Well, we need to get rid of one first. So I guess if that's the strategy we have to go by, the problem being, if we get into a meeting, everything comes pouring out. And if we pour out everything all at once, and then it all of a sudden becomes kind of muddled. And so how are you going to attack it? So if we go back again, education, we do that a lot, especially even with our group. We take papers out, show people, they go to schools and everything. Education is one facet of it, but I think it's almost like the lower end of the facets because people are still doing it. So how are we going to address those issues and how do we do it? If we have a meeting on just one issue, you know, or how would it be best to work with the region on that rather than trying to say, well, we need waste receptacles, we need we got unsecured loads, and it becomes all too boggled. I mean, which way should we do it? Whichever way it needs to be that we can address it. I'm open to it.
Well, I think if you're going to have a meeting on one item, you're going to have a lot of meetings. So perhaps it needs to be multitasking at a meeting. But CAO, what would be your approach to make this come to a conclusion?
Well, I think that the committee or the individuals that are keenly interested need to sit down, have one more meeting, and decide what the priority is, what the issues are, and then leave it with staff or to come up with some type of document that we can then implement. And recognizing with that document is going to include what we do now.
Right.
So I know people don't want to hear about what we do now, but what we do now is important, even more than most municipalities in the province.
Right. Absolutely.
And so most of our stuff is already done. There's not a lot we can do, but there's certain areas that we need to focus on, and committee or the members of council need to decide, here's where we need to focus on, and recognizing there might be seven or eight areas, but as someone said, we recognize that, but this year we're going to focus on area one, and we're going to do that really well, and forget about, well, areas 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, and 7 are important, we're not going to focus on those, because if we focus on all seven, they're going to get watered down, you're not going to get a substantial result in any of them. But if you focus on one, then you may get a substantial result, and then the next year you focus on area two. But I think that the committee needs to get together and clearly articulate where their focus, they believe the focus needs to be, is where they believe the problem areas are.
If I can.
Yeah, Gil, go ahead, Gil.
That speaks to a strategy document. What we're going to do in year one, what we're going to do in year two, what's the most important thing they have to do, and what's the financial implications for upcoming councils and budgets. That's a strategy document. That's what I understand, and that's what I requested a month or so ago. So I think this, your thinking is in line with what our need is for a region. But when we meet with these new people who come to the community, and their big issue is litter and garbage in the ditch in unsightly places, we as a region need to focus on that. And if we're going to build a plan, what we're going to focus on first, what we're going to focus on second, and what they're going to cost us, that's a strategy document as far as I'm concerned.
Thank you, Gil. Any other counselor have a comment on this issue? Councilor Fancy?
If this goes forward, will Scott be setting this up? Or from just so we just don't leave here and just say, well, it's going to be set up and nobody's going forward with it. Again, we on our last meeting, it was a lot said about what the region does, and the region does a lot. We are one of the best regions around for some of the things that we do. That's why we get things, because we allow more bags of garbage. We have more dumping areas. So we get a lot of garbage because of what our region does and is willing to do. And we understand that. And that's not putting that down. It's just saying, where are we going from here?
And I think the CAO, through this discussion today, has a better understanding as to where the focus needs to go. So CAO, could you sort of walk us through exactly what you would like to see staff do from this point forward?
So I'll arrange staff to organize another meeting for those members of the council that are interested in participating. The appropriate staff, and I would just ask the council members that do attend that, come with a clear understanding of what your goal is, what your expected outcome is in the community, and be willing to prioritize those and say that, although I want four or five things done or done differently, here's the thing that I think we need to do, and I need staff or I need council to work cooperatively and jointly come up with one priority or two priorities. And then staff will look at that, we'll look at what the options are to implement it, what we can do to affect change in those areas, what the cost implications are going to be, and then staff will do their best to implement that.
Okay. So hopefully that will bring us to a resolve on this issue and meet the needs of Councillor Johnson. So we'll let the CAO and staff arrange that meeting and try to strategize the important points moving forward to get to this solution that we're looking for. Any other questions or comments on the implementation report that was circulated? Okay, thank you. So that takes us to 14.2.